taking a very data-driven approach, we were able to drill down, find our specific DRGs, find what we thought were driving the longer than expected length of stay in each one of those DRGs, and really hyper-target the interventions.
Hello and welcome to the Better Care Podcast, where we share the stories and insights of clinicians, healthcare leaders, and innovators who are improving the way clinicians work and deliver care. On today's episode, we have Evidence Care's co-founder and chief medical officer, Dr. Brian Fengler, interviewing Dr. Walker Keach, medical director of hospital care management and patient flow at Denver Health. Dr. Keach recently published an article on a 100-day challenge at Denver Health to reduce hospital length of stay using a multimodal, data-driven approach, and the results were impressive. In this episode, he shares details behind the executive urgency that sparked the initiative, how the team leveraged internal analytics, why they focused on specific DRGs, and what they learned about balancing efficiency with patient safety. If you're interested in real-world strategies to reduce length of stay, improve discharge planning, and engage clinical teams in sustainable change, this conversation is packed with practical insights. So with that, enjoy this episode with Dr. Brian Fengler and Dr. Walker Keach.
Welcome to the Better Care Podcast. Very excited today to have with me Dr. Walker Keach. Walker is the medical director of hospital care management and patient flow at Denver Health, an associate professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Why I have Walker with us today, because Walker published recently a study titled Reducing Hospital Length of Stay, a Multimodal Perspective Quality Improvement Intervention. And this was published in the Joint Commission Journal on Quality and Patient Safety. And so I'm excited to have Walker here with us today to talk about all things length of stay and process improvement. So Walker, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. Your paper is amazing. It's a perfect case study in how to look at length of stay at a hospital and why it's important. And so look forward to kind of diving into that here with some of the questions as we go through this podcast. But let's start with the big picture. Why is reducing hospital length of stay such a critical issue for hospitals these days?
I think that's a kind of a great question to kick us off. And so the hospital that I work at, Denver Health Hospital Authority, is the safety net and kind of teaching hospital in downtown Denver, Colorado. We are 550-bed safety net hospital, and kind of the demand and the population that we primarily serve has kind of surged over the past 5, 10, 20 years. Given that hospital beds are kind of one of the most costly resources to build and staff at an institution, and given that we are oftentimes extremely financially strained, we were kind of motivated to do more with what we already had. I think I've seen the cost estimate at about like $1 million per hospital bed to kind of build. So we were historically inefficient with our utilization of our inpatient licensed beds, and that limited the amount of patients that we could serve at our safety net hospital. You know, lots of divert, long ED boarding times, high left without being seen from the waiting room, and really just kind of the volume of patients that we were able to treat every month was lower than what it could be. And so I think for us, and kind of the mission-driven organization that I work for, it was really about just being able to more effectively and efficiently treat our patients and being able to serve more patients.
Yeah, it's kind of wild when you look at it. You know, in Evidence Care, obviously with some of our tools, we look at cost of care. And when you look at cost of care, broken down by the 7 Medicare cost categories, length of stay at every health system is like 40 to 50% of that pie. So you can make a lot of improvements on medications and imaging and labs, but if you don't make an improvement on length of stay, you know, you're not really moving the needle significantly.
Yeah, that's exactly what we found, is that, you know, along those metrics, our cost per adjusted discharge was higher than we'd like it to be. And again, we had tried to improve our length of stay for a long time and kind of ran into various barriers, a lot of which was just kind of all of our providers and nurses and care management, you know, we know that we work at a safety net hospital, and kind of the mantra that we would always hear is like, you know, our patients are different. They're more socially complex, more medically complex, more social determinants of health. And so, you know, it kind of makes sense that our length of stay index, length of stay would be longer. And then once we started kind of looking at the data and comparing it to the expected length of stay, APRDRGs, MSDRGs, and we found even compared to normalized patient using the length of stay index, that our length of stay index was just longer than it should be and longer than other safety net hospitals. And so that kind of lit a fire under us to try and improve things.
Awesome. You know, one of the terms that you use a lot in the paper is length of stay index. And that should be familiar to most folks, but a lot of times we're talking with health systems and folks still don't kind of know that term. So could you explain to us what length of stay index is and how you guys use that within your study?
Absolutely. And so one of the things, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, was kind of like creating a sense of urgency and then kind of like a coalition of the willing to tackle this issue. And one of the things that we'd run into anytime that we met with any of our providers, directors of service, chairs, et cetera, was again kind of, hey, we have a longer than expected length of stay. And they'd say, no, you know, we're different. We're Denver Health. We have more complex patients. And so we really needed a way to normalize kind of compared to other hospitals and say, even with our patient population, their comorbidities, et cetera, we're still keeping patients longer. And so that's when the length of stay index kind of came into play. And there's a lot of different ways that you can calculate it. I know a lot of people kind of are part of the Vizient network and can get data from Vizient, and that's super helpful. For us, it wasn't granular enough. And generally speaking, that data is aggregated kind of quarterly and delayed about 3 months. And then the way Vizient groups data is different. They kind of just track certain DRGs to service lines, but your institution may not even have those service lines. And so it wasn't granular enough for us to really dig into and process improve off of. And so we started calculating internally our own length of stay index. And just at the very kind of top line, length of stay index is the actual length of stay divided by the expected length of stay. And so if the patient stays 5 days and their expected length of stay is 4 days, I'm going to have to do math in my head, but I believe it would give you a length of stay index of 1.25. And so that patient that stayed for 5 was expected to stay for 4, would have stayed 25% longer than you wanted them to. We kind of found that our length of stay index, when we internally calculated it, was somewhere between 1.15 and 1.2, meaning we were keeping our average patient 15 to 20% longer than usual. And we did want to be a little bit more granular. So we did the build DRG. We're about 60% Medicaid at our institution, and those track to an APRDRG. And so if a Medicaid patient discharged, we would use the APRDRG and that expected length of stay, versus if a commercial or a Medicare patient discharged, we would use the MSDRG expected length of stay. And so that's kind of how we calculated our internal length of stay, basically on every patient that discharged. And that gave us the ability to like drill down and say, you know, our length of stay for last month was a little bit higher. Why was it higher? And kind of able to drill down to those longer than expected length of stay patients.
Yeah. And you know, 15 to 20% higher doesn't sound that bad when you think of it as 1.15 or 1.2. You know, anchored to that one. But when you then consider that some of these DRGs have expected length of stays of 5, 6, 7 days, that 15 to 20% then becomes a day or two in an extra length of stay per patient. What did you guys use for your expected length of stay? Curious, did you use CMS GMLOS or did you use some other benchmark?
That is a great question. And actually, when we were authoring this paper, we had to go back to when we built out the data warehouse in 2017, 2018. So let me pull that up real quick. We used the actual length of stay in hours divided by their expected length of stay using either the APR or MSDRG, arithmetic mean, depending on the payer. And so I know like some people use like GMLOS, et cetera, but for whatever reason, decided to use the arithmetic mean for what it's worth.
Now, going back to kind of big picture on this project, I think one of the catalysts for this project was your CEO issued a 100-day challenge to improve length of stay. How did that messaging coming from the CEO help with the urgency and the coalition that you were able to put together?
Yeah, we kind of talk a lot in our current state about kind of Cotter's change management. Our CEO certainly created a sense of urgency at the time. And so I think kind of going back to the early 2010s, it was known that we had a longer than ideal length of stay index. And over the years, they tried to kind of improve it with various sort of broad-based tactics. And so, you know, somebody would say, oh, I think we're waiting too long for echoes. And there'd be a little bit of focus on getting echoes faster. Or, you know, I think that the delays in PT, so let's try and get PT to see patients faster. But it was all broad-based and diffuse. There was no single point of accountability. There was no coordination between nursing and providers and ancillary services and care management, et cetera. And so I moved into this position April of 2019, and things had kind of been boiling. And then by July of 2019, that's when our CEO kind of issued this edict that if we didn't improve our length of stay index substantially in the next 100 days, then, you know, heads would roll kind of thing. We're going to bring in consultants and we're going to shake everything up, et cetera, et cetera. So after only being in my position for 2 months, that definitely created a sense of urgency for myself. And then my counterpart, Mara Prandy Abrams, who's kind of our operations manager of Flow. And we can kind of talk about sort of the dyad and what each of us kind of brings to this table. But yeah, that certainly created a sense of urgency. And it was one of those things that, you know, that how big organizations work. Everybody sort of had their metrics for 2019, things that they were focusing on, et cetera. And so this just really shook things up and kind of put improving our length of stay index by October 1st as sort of like a top priority and an unexpected, unplanned for top priority at the time. But kind of from the top down with us in our sort of single point of accountability roles, and then the CEO telling operations, the CMO, chief nursing officer, et cetera, that this is like a priority, that did sort of marshal a lot of resources for us.
Amazing. How did you guys, you talked a little bit about the paper, but wanted to have you be able to talk to folks about kind of how did you guys use internal analytics to kind of help you identify the problem areas and where you were going to focus your energies?
Yeah. And I think like, you know, just in speaking with people at other institutions, I think that might have been sort of like the linchpin or the special sauce that really kind of helped us get going. So we have a great data analytics team at our institution, great data warehouse people. And what we found was that the ability to get granular enough for process improvement in Epic or in the Vizient dashboard was just not there. And so my counterpart, Mara, could speak more eloquently to this, but every night at midnight, our data warehouse, HIPAA compliant, uploads to Tableau. And Tableau helps us aggregate our data. And so we were able to kind of pull in all of these patient specific factors and then, you know, hospital flow kind of related factors into Tableau and, you know, probably have like 100 data elements that we can sort of analyze there. But all of this kind of in Tableau and able to sort of drill down on specific patients. So we could look at length of stay index by the month, like I was kind of referencing, and say, we were a little bit higher here. Let's go by our specific teams. Let's go by discharge time, discharge floor, when PT signed off, were they housed or unhoused? Did they have diabetes? Did they have a hypoglycemic episode? And so we were able just to get super, super, super granular in our patient-specific data. But once we all had all that in there, the first thing we did is, I think something that had been tried at our institution was, I've seen this tried at other institutions also somewhat unsuccessfully, was focusing on the outlier patients. And so once we had everything aggregated in there, we had a decision to make. It's like, do you try and focus on a small amount of patients that have a very long length of stay index, or a, you know, small number of DRGs that are like big outlier DRGs, or do you go for kind of the meaty middle that is maybe just a little bit longer than expected. And we did the latter. And so we created an opportunity score or an impact factor for all of the DRGs at our institution. And we landed kind of on our top five areas that we wanted to focus on based off of the volume and then the length of stay index. And so one of them that we ended up focusing on was sepsis, which had a length of stay index of 1.02, only 2% longer than average. But given that we are a safety net hospital, we see a lot of sepsis. So that was like our highest volume discharge DRG. And so we decided just to try and improve that just a little bit, but knowing that it would impact a lot of patients. And so that's the approach that we took. So we divided our patients into what we called a non-complex bucket, which is 96% of our discharges, and a complex bucket, which was 4% of our discharges, non-complex with a length of stay index of less than 3, which, you know, encompasses a lot of long stay patients. So back to the expected length of stay of 5 days, somebody that stayed for 14 days, but was only expected to stay for 5 days would still be in our non-complex, non-outlier length of stay bucket. So it was pretty broad. But, you know, if you're staying for 16 days, and your expected length of stay was 5 days, there's something else going on. You know, you've got a complicated social situation or, you know, inability to perform ADLs, dementia, et cetera. And so we decided to focus our efforts initially on that non-complex kind of non-outlier bucket and then on the highest volume outlier DRGs.
And you guys ended up finally coming down to, you already mentioned sepsis, but your three kind of intervention areas ended up being sepsis, obstetrics, and psychiatry. Talk to us a little bit. You already mentioned sepsis, but what was it about obstetrics and psychiatric cases that, you know, met your profile?
Yeah. And so when we looked at kind of our volume, we do have like a women and children's pavilion. And I think we deliver about a third of the babies born in Denver. So obviously high volume. But when we looked at our kind of DRG opportunity scores, it was vaginal delivery, septicemia, C-sections, major depressive disorder, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and then kind of below that, heart failure, seizure, again, vaginal delivery with sterilization, alcohol related. And then we had like a very small volume DRG, but with a very long length of stay index of nervous system disorder. And so looking at vaginal delivery and C-section, so DRG 560 by vaginal delivery had a length of stay index of 1.16 and a super high volume. And so that one was kind of like a no-brainer for us. Again, when we looked at sepsis, that had the second highest volume and a length of stay index of 1.01, 1.02. And so we kind of created three sort of working groups. One is like our obstetrics and pediatrics. One was sepsis, which was mostly internal medicine, hospital medicine, provider focused. And then we do have an inpatient psych kind of unit hospital. And so we had our psychiatric kind of working group. And so with those three working groups, with those specific DRGs kind of in mind, we used Toyota Lean methodology to kind of drill down 5 whys, Gemba boards, walking the floors, soliciting feedback from people that were close to it, nursing providers, care management, lactation consultants. And we would ask these working groups, you know, why do you think we keep patients longer? And we came up with, you know, hundreds of ideas, but then we tested those against kind of the data that we could compile in a tableau. And so people would say, you know, I think we're keeping patients longer because, you know, X, Y, or Z. And we'd test those. And we'd say, well, we didn't really find a correlation in our data, not saying that it's not possible, but it's not bearing out in the data. But for one of the things that was brought up is that we did not have lactation consultants 24/7 in our birthing pavilion. And so the hypothesis was, if you were born overnight, and, you know, there's kind of no scheduled sort of delivery times for a lot of these, the babies come when they're ready. But if a baby was born overnight, they would have to wait 4, 6, 8, 12 hours to see a lactation consultant. And so just from a operations flow perspective, that created kind of a buildup when our lactation consultant would come in at 7 a.m. But that also could kind of delayed teaching for especially a new mother might cause the baby to latch poorly and prolong that length of stay. And so we did aggregate that specific data by when the baby was born and if they had a longer length of stay. And sure enough, they did. And then we kind of did some manual data tracking that said kind of time from birth to when they saw the lactation consultant. Again, that bore out. And so we had a little bit of pilot money piloted for 28 days, having 24/7 lactation consultant coverage. And that radically kind of improved our length of stay index there. Of course, we had a lot of focus on that area. And it's hard to say that that was like the exact one thing. Maybe it was a culture change. Maybe it was some other interventions that we put in there. But showing that improvement got our CEO to approve kind of additional FTE for 24/7 coverage. And so I think kind of what we try and reference back in the paper is like, this is the approach that we took to find the areas for improvement. Having 24/7 lactation consultation kind of availability may not improve every institution's length of stay index, but taking a very data-driven approach, we were able to drill down, find our specific DRGs, find what we thought were driving the longer than expected length of stay in each one of those DRGs, and really hyper-target the interventions.
That's awesome. It's great that in a world of data and now, you know, AI and all this great technology, I mean, you guys went back to kind of the basics of, you know, it's not just technology, it's people, process, and technology. And if you don't address the people factor and get them engaged on the why, and you don't address the processes, you can measure, you know, with technology and the analytics, all the data, but you're not going to move the needle on the data because you're not addressing some of the core issues. So love that.
Yeah. And I think kind of one of the themes, and I wish I could articulate it better, but one of the things that has kind of crystallized for me over the 6 years of being in this role is if you can make something win-win for everybody, just the uptake and the adoption is so much better. So just telling people to discharge by 10 a.m., we've never had much success with, because like it doesn't benefit the provider, doesn't benefit the nurses, maybe doesn't even benefit the patient. But if you can find something like some of the interventions we did, we'll just talk about the lactation consultant, like that benefited everybody. It benefited the mom, benefited the baby, benefited the providers, benefited the nurses. It took like a barrier and made everybody's life easier, all of the staff's lives easier, and made a better experience and outcome for our patients. And so those kind of like win-win-win interventions to me have seen the ones that are the most durable, best adoption, eventually had the best outcomes. And so that's kind of a theme that I think we've seen repeat over and over again as we've rolled out different interventions.
That's great. So thinking about some of the concerns that folks sometimes have on length of stay initiatives, you know, what about those folks that worry that, oh, if we reduce length of stay, then we're going to increase our readmissions risk, and that's going to hurt us in our ratings and reimbursement? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what does your data show on readmissions?
Yeah, similar to other kind of analyses at other institutions on this, we found that our readmissions was completely flat. 30 days and 7-day readmissions were completely flat over the entire intervention period. We looked at some mortality data, et cetera, and we saw no worsening whatsoever of mortality in hospital or after discharge or 7 or 30 day readmissions. And so that was definitely a concern that was brought up, and kind of that sort of mentality of providers that work in the hospital of just like, you know, one more night, we'll just observe them one more night. But what we found is that with some of our latter interventions of just having better follow-up, better kind of like a hospital transitions clinic or rapid follow-up clinic, remote monitoring, easier to schedule into PCPs, a few other kind of nice things that we were able to bundle together, providers and patients felt more confident about discharging earlier. But before we rolled any of those out and we just purely did our length of stay interventions, no worsening whatsoever of our readmissions data.
And that mirrors what we see on our side too with health systems we work on is improving length of stay. We've never seen a correlation with increased readmissions.
And I think, you know, providers anecdotally can always think of like kind of one patient that if they had discharged earlier, things might have gone poorly. But I think in the aggregate, improving processes to more efficiently deliver care improves your length of stay and doesn't worsen readmissions.
Yeah. Well, you guys started this study a while back. It started even before COVID. How have things looked since you published the study? And have you guys been able to sustain those length of stay improvements? And have you even taken this program to other areas since you did the study?
Yeah. And so we, you know, we kind of have pretty robust data back to when we went live with Epic in 2016. So comparing from 2017 to April of 2025, our length of stay index kind of had that initial super steep improvement kind of in the fall of 2019. It went up a little bit during COVID, mostly because of backups in home health and post-acute discharges, but has been sustained. And we're actually kind of at the best we've ever been in our first kind of four full months of data in 2025. And not only is our length of stay, you know, better and sustained, but the volume of patients that we've been able to treat as an inpatient has risen by 2,000 per year. So we were at about 10,000 inpatient discharges a year, and now we're up to about 12,000.
That's amazing. Well, if a colleague from another health system, you know, reached out to you and said, "Hey, we've seen your study. Where do we start? Where do we begin on this? You know, what would be your recommendation?"
Yeah, yeah. We actually had a chat with another institution like that a couple weeks ago. And I think one of the things we noted in talking to this kind of large health system was that they were using kind of native Epic data analysis and then Vizient, and it just wasn't kind of granular enough. So I think, you know, there's probably lots of data analytic software, but we kind of found, you know, again, in a HIPAA compliant fashion, using Tableau to analyze our internal data and importing all of those patient specific and kind of hospital provider specific data elements in there was really kind of the rocket fuel that got us started. So I think kind of really understanding your own internal data on a super granular level, because the questions that we got asked and the hypotheses that were brought to us as to why patients were staying longer, I think every institution's going to have those different factors that contribute to their longer length of stay. But being able to kind of really drill down and find those specific elements, I think, is super important. Having a single point of accountability or points of accountability, because I often think that, you know, length of stay initiatives will only focus in the emergency department or only focus on nursing or ancillary services. So I think kind of getting your data right, being able to analyze it, getting kind of some point people to lead this, a really high level sort of support from your executives so that everybody knows that this is a priority. And then sourcing your interventions from the frontline staff and having them kind of engaged from the get-go. And so if you have your high level support and then you start kind of engaging your frontline staff, everything sort of meets and you can really sort of build that coalition of the willing. But I think it all kind of starts with great internal data and then kind of single points of accountability to lead the work.
That's great. Well, Walker, thank you so much for joining us today on the Better Care Podcast. We will put the link to your study in the show notes so that folks can easily access that. I really appreciate you joining us today and talking about this length of stay initiative that you guys did at Denver Health, which was very successful. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Better Care Podcast. To ensure you never miss an episode, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on your preferred platform. Additionally, your ratings and reviews are invaluable in helping us reach a wider audience. Please consider leaving a review, and if you do, email us a screenshot at marketing@evidence.care, and we'll send you a thank you gift. For access to exclusive content and further healthcare insights created by Evidence Care, please visit evidence.care/bettercarepodcast and subscribe to our email list. We appreciate your support and look forward to connecting soon.